what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Happens. Happens.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from BsideBlog.com and The Banter Blender. Joining me today is a man who only drinks champagne out of champagne glasses. It's Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com and the Rose Pricks Bachelor Podcast. What's up, Ronnie?
Well, hello, man.
How's it going?
So good. I love me some Beverly Hills, girl. I love a petty fight.
Yes, me too. Well, we're going to get into a whole bunch of petty fights today. Not you and me. We're just going to talk about other people's petty fights. But before we do that, go to watchercrappens.com to buy your tickets to our live shows in Houston and Detroit in March. If you speak to anyone in Boston, they'll tell you it was a fun time. So go have a fun time too. So if you're in Texas, if you're in Dallas, make the drive. If you're in Cleveland, go drive around that lake to Detroit. Or if you're from Toronto, go do it. Watchercrappens.com to buy tickets for those shows. Unfortunately, our New York show in February is sold out, so you can't buy tickets for that one. But March, you're up next. That's it.
March is coming up next. We're doing a show once or twice a month through the entire year of 2018, people.
That's right. That's right. So, Ronnie, shall we talk some...
Darling!
Shall we discuss some Good Housewives of Beverly Hills?
We certainly should, darling. So, I had already forgotten this because so little has happened on this season that I forget. Yeah. I'm like, oh, what happened? But when Dorit's, when they were gambling and Dorit won, and she's like, I won! And it's my birthday! It's like, oh, good. Here we go. I'm ready.
So I thought
I was just gonna say I thought we were meeting before between 4:30 and 5:30, Teddy.
Why would so we do sad. That? So the episode opens up at Vanderpump Dogs, or Lisa walks and she goes, woof, woof, hello, darlings, woof, woof.
Dogs and tutus. There's some spaz dog jumping all over the place. Hello! And she's like, oh, what is that? It's kind of a cross between my terrible Dorit impersonation and also like a cat being put through a meat grinder. Lisa's whine.
What is that? It makes me feel like I'm seeing a broken bird, but it looks like a dog.
It's Peanut. The guy's like, it's Peanut. His name is Peanut. We got it from a hoarder.
Sounds good. Like, congratulations on it not being crushed between two books and flattened over time.
I like that Lisa is forcing her gay to dress like he's a waiter at Pump. It's like, it gives her a certain amount of power, I think.
Please, wear a pink button down that's open down to your navel and perhaps a loose tie. Yes, I feel like I'm in control now.
Now, this is the craziest thing we've done so far, this Vanderpump Pets.
Yeah. So Ken is putting puppies down the front of his shirt, which is probably the cutest thing I've ever seen. Not really for the puppy. The puppy's probably like, I love a hairy breast.
Yeah.
But even this is a bit much for me. But they're talking about how they want to clone Jiggy.
Yeah. Yeah, because Ken wants to clone Jiggy, although my autocorrect says Piggy, which I think is so rude to Jiggy.
It's rude.
It's $50,000 to clone Jiggy, and the gay's like, it's like, Ken, is it worth it to clone? He just is like, is it worth it to clone Jiggy? And before he can even finish saying what he's going to say, Lisa Vanderpump's like, no, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about the lawsuit. Silence, pump waiter. Silence.
We could give that money to the center. Or to Lala, who apparently needs it. Anyone want to buy Lala Range Rover? Anyone?
But
Oh, Bueller. Oh,
thank you, God. Bueller, stop. Come on.
Bueller wants guys, to go to Vanderpump Dogs.
Bueller, I've ordered so many things from Amazon one day. I'm so sorry. This is like the second time today Bueller's had a coughing fit. It's because I'm basically a shopping addict, okay?
Yeah, did you get stuff from Amazon Prime just now?
Yes, like Pramazon.
It's where you Pramazon. Get friends. If you want to get a carriage, go to Pramazon.com.
I'm Pramazon.com.
Yeah, I just keep ordering things from there because I don't know. I don't want to leave my house ever. And so they keep dropping stuff off, and Bueller just, it's like his moment to shine, you know?
Do you want to get the box? I can vamp while you go get your box.
No, I'm not going to get it because then I'm going to open it, and then he's going to be like, oh, I did the right thing. I don't want him to have any reaction other than mental, emotional abuse when he does that, okay?
That's good. That's good. You're teaching him. Just like Ken is teaching the dog in his little kangaroo sack to be calm and be act like a Joey. So, Joey as in like a baby kangaroo, not Joey from Friends. So,
he's similar to a baby kangaroo, intelligence-wise.
Exactly. So, Lisa Vanderpump is starting to talk about this other rescue center that they're having a controversy with. And saying how they were going to merge with them, but she's like, but things weren't quite the way we wanted it there. They didn't have a place for broken birds, just perfectly fine birds. I wasn't comfortable.
I only wanted birds that were perfect after I had fixed them. We had to disengage.
I was like, what, was this a military act?
I consulted my manila folder, and it turns out that Ken gave them $40,000 for rent. And then next thing you know, they are suing him, saying that Ken reneged on being a partner. Wrong!
Ken paid an almost full jiggy to that center.
Why would you want to clone a dog with a skin disease? No offense, Jiggy. Like, he's really cute, but wouldn't he be born with the same alopecia?
Because that's a cute alopecia. And then Jonathan's just like, what?
Balding Jiggy, darling.
Jonathan's like, it's terrible. He doesn't even talk like that. It's our default voice for gay people on
like,
our
it's shows. Peanut. It's Peanut.
It's Mikey. Mikey is basically working there. He's like,
Peanut, yes, but this dog is named Peanut, yes, but everything.
So Ken is apparently very hurt by having his integrity brought into question, which I understand.
Yeah, so then he just goes on sucking out the brains of those puppies in his shirt.
It's like, brain cells. Oh, I love me some spinal fluid. You keep me young forever.
The other rescue center was probably like, listen, we wanted to work with you, but Ken kept stealing puppies in his shirt. So next up, we go over to Teddy. I'm Teddy. Where she's seeing her esthetician.
And it's also Mikey and the gay from Vanderpump.
All rolled into one.
And but it's like he went to the plastic surgeon and was like, can I have Carson Kressley's face? It's like, why would you do that to yourself, sir?
He's like, I want my face to look like Carson Kressley mixed with my friend Abby from middle school. So,
but he kind of talks like Billy Lee.
He does.
Kind of talks like Billy Lee from Vanderpump Rules. He's like, get ready, okay? And she's like, my name is Teddy. Hi. I'm into preservation, not plastic, okay? So I get facials when I can, and I make sure not to fill myself with anything like those Coke rings from Diet Cokes because that's how dolphins die. I'm Teddy.
I'm not super into fashion or shopping. I'm like, well, why are you on this show, Teddy? This is Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, not real people who walk down the sidewalks of Beverly Hills, okay?
So, yeah, and who the fuck do you think you're kidding? You have some guy with Carson Kressley's old face, like, putting goo all over your face with a big stick. So I think you are. I think you are snotty, Teddy.
Well, she does literally say she's into wellness and preservation. So he's like, well, Teddy, I want to do something new on you today. I want to do the Venus Legacy skin tightening. I'm like, I don't know what that is, but it does not sound like something that should be happening in anyone's face. Venus Legacy.
Oh, the Venus Legacy.
Venus Legacy skin tightening. What is the Venus Legacy? Is this like the legacy of Bananarama?
It's lots of fucking. Venus is the planet of fucking.
Yeah.
Lots of old, dried out Venus legacy. It's like, it's exhausted. It's the most exhausted sexual energy you've ever felt, darling.
You know, one thing that Tay did say that I appreciate was her saying, you know, I'm not a fan of filler. I've seen a lot of scary filler, so I'm going to lay off that for as long as I can. But I'm going to do Botox. I'm like, good for you. Because we have not seen many good examples of filler. I think that filler is a science that has yet to be perfected. Have we ever seen any filler that looks particularly good? Ever?
No, I think filler was invented by a fat person who realized that when you start losing weight when you're old, you just look really old. And then so people will get fat just to have their face look normal again. So someone who was like, if only my face could be fat again, but my body could be thin. I've got it. I'll go get some Coke from Home Depot and shove it into my face. They haven't really perfected it yet.
Yeah, I mean, not even Shamar Moore can pull it off. And if Shamar Moore can't pull off filler, then honestly, no one can.
So Teddy's like, well, me and these girls don't really connect on anything except our appearance. So Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, I'm going to bring you over to this party, okay? And he's like, okay, but we just want to make an environment of love and connection. Okay. Yeah, sounds great.
Because she wants to do like a glamour day as a thank you for the girls bringing her to Vegas. And they show a flashback of Teddy on the phone calling Lisa Vanderpump and some others and being like, yeah, hey guys, I want to invite you all over to a glam circle at my house. And Lisa Vanderpump just goes, what? And then the flashback ends. Like, what a ridiculous... Who? A glam circle.
A drum circle? What are we, hippies?
Glam. Glam circle.
Bam Bam Circle. What are we doing here, Teddy?
What is this ridiculousness? Now, by the way, to be fair, Teddy's skin actually looked really amazing afterwards. So, listen, I'm going to give credit where credit is due. Teddy, your skin looks wonderful. Your gay is doing wonderful things for you, okay?
Yes. So, let's go to Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
Kyle is with Ginny and Lizzie, the editors.
Kyle is dressed like Cruella de Vil goes corporate. She's like, I'm going to wear a blazer, but it's black and white. It's very Cruella de Vil.
She goes, what are we working on, girls? And she's like, we're working on episode 105. And Kyle goes, I love this episode.
And you know what the scene? And then she's like, oh, and my God, I love this. This is my favorite scene. And we see a scene, and it's Alicia Silverstone telling young Kyle, saying, just remember, you were picked out because you're better than all the other girls. And Kyle's like, it's my favorite scene.
No kidding. Do you think this is kind of a dream version of Kyle's childhood? She's like, I'm going to rewrite the whole thing. I'm the star now. The clip is really odd. First of all, why is Alicia Silverstone talking like Dorit? Did you notice that?
It was
she's
like
got some
Hollywood
accent. Yeah, she's like, you were picked out of lots and lots of girls. We can be home right now if you don't love it. She's saying these lines, which I think whenever they show a picture of Battle Axe Marge, you know, Kyle's mom, she doesn't look like she's this nice. And I think she probably said these lines like, you were picked out of lots and lots of girls. We can go home right now if you don't love it. Now be sure to introduce yourself and look them straight in the eye. Okay, this is how she probably really said it. Listen, I brought you here out of lots and lots of girls. I could have brought Kathy. I could have brought Kim. Look, we'll go home right now if you don't want it. Now introduce yourself and look them straight in the eye so they know you're not a pussy.
You know, that is one of the most accurate things you've ever said. That is so true. It is so 100% true. And also, I'm like, is this show supposed to be a comedy? Because the scene was like, look them in the eyes and shake their hands. I was like waiting for the punchline. I'll never get hired on it as a writer. Sad.
Yeah, is it a show about getting a bank? I mean,
so
a little bit there.
So Kyle's just reflecting on her mom, and she's saying how
in the modern age for baby bird feeding her child, which is where you chew up your food and then you feed your baby with it. And I just imagine that Kyle's mom really did that. Like, yeah, I don't want this. Eat it, Kyle.
I mean, you know that Kyle's mom was tough, because Kyle even says that when she would be walking around and she would see a toy that she wanted or a dress, her mom would say, well, then get a job and work for it. I mean, the girl was like 7 years old.
No
That's
kidding.
Crazy, right?
I know. It sounds like Erica's mom, because Erica said that too. She's like, remember when you made me get a job and told me to work for Bob? Like, what is this season in mommy issues?
Exactly.
And also, you're talking to the right person.
We all get it. So speaking of Erica arrives at Dorit's place, which is You know, a season ago, this is not something we would have expected, but Erica arrives to hang out with Dorit.
Yes, and I think it's funny that for Dorit, you know, when they put all those funny intros for things, they're like, look, it's dogs and tutus, or it's ladies with thigh gap and bikinis walking around Beverly Hills, or whatever. Mm-hmm. For Dorit, they give those really old not hoverboards, but those things that you stand on and, like, mall cops use them.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you call those?
Segways?
Yeah, the Segways. Yeah. I thought that was such a funny way to come into Dorit. Like, everyone else has moved on to hoverboards, but she's like, look at us! With a Segway! We're so rich!
It's nice to see you, Erica. It's so nice to see you. Guys, Erica's here. Guys, so nice to see you. Thank you for coming.
Erica has to walk up all those stairs. Poor Erica just can't catch a break. It's like drive here from Pasadena for 45 minutes and then walk up 5 flights of stairs to see Dorit.
Yeah, exactly, in her Rapunzel tower. So Erica is there because they're going to go pick out a birthday gift for PK because his big 50th birthday is coming up soon. And, you know, they're like, who would have thought? You know, it's sort of surprising, but now we're going to start our friendship over, you know, be friends now, from a place of truth, you know, things like that.
I love Erica's trying to be more animated, but I just don't buy it. I mean, she's saying things like this.
I was thrilled to get the call from Dorit to pick out a gift for PK.
No, you weren't. Who are you? What are you trying to pull over our eyes here, lady? Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to get out of the house. You know, I've been seeing more of Mr. Girardi more than I've ever seen before. And while I love having him around, it's nice to escape once in a while.
Yeah, once they get hurt, they're like infants, these men. He's pooping himself, he's eating mush food. Oh, wait, he was always doing that. Never mind. He's just home more.
I like it when, because they're driving to this car place, and Erica's saying that stuff about how Tom turns into an infant, and Dorit is clearly not paying attention, because she just keeps going like this, totally, totally, totally.
Also, I like that,
totally.
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 I like that Erica got in some light shade there, because she's like,
well, this could be a chance for us to communicate one-on-one without outside influences for once.
Sounds like outside like Vanderpump.
Are you making fun of Vanderpump Dogs for not having a kennel run?
You know, maybe we'll have a chance to talk to each other without spiders weaving webs in corners. You know what I'm saying, Charlotte?
So, okay. So, this season, Dorit has already given us one of my favorite audio clips of all time, and I will play it now in case anyone forgot.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Soft clap. So, here comes another, I feel like, instant classic. Erica and Dorit enter this car place, and the guy who works there, he goes, young ladies, welcome! And Dorit lets out a scream like she just got gutted with a machete. Did you notice that?
No, play it.
Okay, this is what it was.
Young ladies! Yeah! Welcome!
She hasn't seen Jagger in so long, she thinks it's him.
But it's like such a horrifying scream from the depths of her soul. Like Freddy Krueger himself reached out from one of these sports cars and stabbed her before she could talk to the salesman.
Young ladies, yeah! welcome.
nothing like sounding young by screaming like that.
You did it well. I can't even replicate it. Oh my god. One more time. Can we do it one more time?
Please.
Young ladies. Yeah! Welcome.
Oh my god. I just started to die with laughter.
Well, oh what god. A phony ass. That is so Beverly Hills to be like, hey, young ladies. Like it's yeah. like two people from Chuck E. Cheese. The Chuck E. Cheese matinee show are walking in here. What are you talking
it's
about?
It's like reverse. It's like reverse of what you do to kids. You know, to kids, you go, hey, big guy. Hey, big
yes,
man.
Exactly. Just tell them what they need, and maybe yeah. they'll put our thing on TV, because you know PK ain't paying $3 million for a car. So, Dorit's like, Brett and PK have known each other a long time. So Brett convincing me that PK gets a Bugatti? It's a stretch.
A Pagani is the perfect gift for PK. It's only 25 in the US, and they cost nearly $3 million. It's perfect for PK. Guys, it's perfect. It's perfect.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Fucking Dorit. At least everyone else is like kind of pretending they're rich.
Yeah.
Dorit's like, $3 million, no problem. Could I get it for two? You've got a deal. I'm like, get out of here. Ain't nobody believing that.
Yeah, and they walk out to this stupid car. I mean, this is like, this is a car where your penis is so small it's actually inverted. I actually think this is like, it's like going back up into you. Like, maybe it's like, I don't know. It's just
people are paying a lot of money to get that done, Bin.
I know. I was like, should I go there? I won't. Let's make fun of the car. It looks stupid. Okay. First of all the doors are up like a pseudo Lamborghini. It looks like a fly that's been startled. Okay.
It's like a Batmobile, and you're like, wait a minute. Crap-mobile. How does a Batmobile go underground from like caves and stuff? It's like it's always hitting the ceiling.
It's like if the Batmobile were commissioned to tunnel for a subway, it's like, okay, I guess we'll use this car. I'm sorry. Like, it's just because it's expensive and it has like an aerodynamic look and doors that open in all directions doesn't mean that it's worth $3 million in my humble view. Get a Toyota Camry. That's a sensible car.
Well, it's for their budget. You know they don't show that shit brown Rolls Royce or whatever, that rose gold one that he gave her last year, because there's like a CarMax sticker on the back that they can't get off.
Well, no, they drove in that rose gold thing over to this place, the Pagani place.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Oh, you never see it from the back because there's like one of those little CarMax imprints.
It's like, how's my driving? I started doing Australian now. Call 555. Fix my car. I don't know.
Goys.
My Dorit is all over the map today. My Dorit is like international.
555, goys.
Guys. How's my driving? Call 555. Guys.
Guys. This is basically the way that she's paying for that car that she's driving, the regular car that she has. Because, you know, they ain't paying for that shit either. She's like, okay, we'll film something at your little Batmobile store if you keep giving us the Hertz rental for another 3 months of filming, Brit.
So Dorit and Eric are going to give it a test drive, but Dorit's like, I'm not equipped to drive this car. I'm doing Australian now. I think I'm all turned around. I think sometimes, like, if I hear too much Mrs. Padmore, I just become Australian. It's a very strange thing. I don't know what's happening.
Oh, blame me, baby.
Blaming you.
It's always my fault, isn't it?
I said to that Australian accent, get out of my body right this instant.
She's like, I'm not equipped to drive this car. My airbags make me equipped to crash it, though. You want to try it, Erica?
I feel like we're going to take off or something, go to the moon or something. Wouldn't that be exciting, Erica? Go to the moon. I could sell my bathing suits there, sell them to Moon Man. That'd be the most popular thing, and I'm going to win an MTV award because those are Moon Men. Get it, Erica?
And then Erica and her 10 pounds of makeup face and her pigtails is like, I don't even know the fastest car I've been in. The Ferrari, the Bugatti, the Puputi, the Langari, the Lombardio, the LaGuardia. I don't even know.
Right, Leona?
So,
but this blows away my little Ferrari. I'm like the poor sister here. I'm like Hannah and whatever those other poor sisters were named. The poor set of those.
And then Dorit's like, then suddenly I was thinking, I mean, as much as I love this car, and I just don't think that PK would be able to enjoy it, because he'd be thinking, is my wife seriously mental right now? I mean, am I mental? I just can't pay $3 million on this. He won't be able to enjoy it. So, I've decided not to spend the $3 million on it. Also, we don't have $3 million.
Also, Erica's paying for lunch on to Ego.
My dick got hard in this car.
Dorit's like, I swear to God, I'm sexually aroused.
Actually, Dorit was driving it. Did I say that Dorit wasn't driving it? She was driving it. Because Erica
was driving it.
Yeah, she was driving it. Sort of like, she was giving like a tender drive along the down like Van Nuys Boulevard or wherever they were.
She said she got sexually aroused, and Erica's like,
I told you, my dick got hard.
Maka told me to say that, so it would play well with the gays.
All right, look, let's get multiple things across out in the scene, okay? I'm rich, and I'm a gay dude with a dick.
Oh my god, I just realized it's my ballad. Pagani's got me so hard in the legs.
Bubby, good hide.
In the bagadery.
It's like a really sad ballad. It's like a dirge.
My dick got hard in the Paganil.
So next, let's go over to...
Hi.
Hello.
Look, it's Harry Hamlin. Hi, Harry Hamlin. Hi. How are you?
Would you like a cup of tea, Harry? Yes. Hi.
So she's pretending, and she admits it, at least, which I always love about her, but she's like at least admitting she ain't ever making him tea. She's like, look, Harry, I put cream in your tea. Look, I don't even know what happened. It curdled, but heavy cream and milk. It's like, I don't belong in the kitchen. And he's like, huh, there's a reason I cook here. You want a sugar-free apple pie?
I'm working on the Menendez brothers right now. That was my attempt at a Harry Hamlin impersonation. Never tried it before.
He's like, it's Law and Order, Menendez Brothers, Criminal Minds, SVU Menendez Order, Law and. She's like, whoa!
Intent.
Tell you, you go on vacay and you'll get booked. I mean, it's very common for us to go to Canada. Have I mentioned Canada? We love Canada. 4 stars. What a country.
Listen, baby, remember when Amelia had a spitting phase? I was like, spitting phase. Listen. I told her, you keep spitting, and you're going to grow a penis, baby. She never spat again or grew a penis.
Well, I'm glad she didn't say that in front of Erica. Erica would have just started spitting.
Look, I grew a dick, and it's hard.
I'm spitting. Do you swallow or you spit? New ballad.
Who knows? If I knew this, I wouldn't have been swallowing the whole time. Got a dick.
So Harry turned down work to raise the kids. I don't know why I wrote that down. Like, that's such a fascinating point. Like, he turned down work, Harry Hamlin. But the main thing is that
they start talking about the kid, and she's like, I just want to stay normal. I just want our kids to stay like normal girls. Going to NYU, being normal. Supermodel, being normal. You know, normal. We're totally normal.
Yeah.
It's like carrying 20 bags for her children.
And they're worried that Delilah, you know, because she's moving to New York City in advance of starting at NYU in the spring. And they're afraid that she's going to have, like, be too unstructured and get into bad scenes, et cetera, et cetera. And Harry is really concerned, you know. He's like, because Lisa's like, well, you know, at a certain point, they just have to learn the hard way. And he's like, well, I don't want her to learn the hard way, you know. Like, what if she gets hooked on drugs? She's like, oh, I just meant just getting her heart broken. He's like... Do you live in the real world?
She's like, look, Harry Hamlin, I have a bubble of white light around both of them, okay? It's a bubble of white light. Think it, be it. Be it, think it. Think good, get good. Am I right, Harry Hamlin?
Bubble bobble. What?
He's like, well, what happens when a creek comes up to the bubble? Does he just bounce off? You should sell bubbles. You can sell everything. And she's like,
bubbles. I can sell bubbles. Bubbles of white light. Oh, God, here we are.
Okay, Lisa Rinna. Yourself up off the floor now, girl.
She's like watching the 10,000 Flushes commercial with those little suds, like doing a NASCAR 500 around the toilet. She's like, whoa, oh my God, bubbles so fast. Whoa. Baby. Oh man, we're really in a crazy place.
So back over at Vanderpump Dogs. Kyle comes in with her giant dog. You know, Kyle tries with her dogs, but they're just too big.
They're really big.
She needs little dogs, okay?
Yeah.
So her big dog, Storm, and Portia brings a friend, and Vanderpump sees Storm and she goes, ooh, which is very different from which means she hates Kyle's dog.
And then the gay holds up like, well, Lisa and gay, I'm calling him just gay. Lisa and the gay, they both are holding puppies, and the gay goes, are you dead?
Not yet, darling. He's got two more days of trying to get sold. So he's like, you guys, are you dead? Because Lisa didn't completely make you a grooming appointment, and we're like completely short a groomer. So that's like one completely and one not completely. Which complete are you? Are you complete or are you not completely? I didn't know you needed grooming for your dog, Kyle. I love to mess with Kyle Richards.
Little does Kyle know, I left a note in the manila folder to say, fuck with Kyle today.
To do F number two with number three, Kyle Richards! That's right. I'll be here all week.
Get it. So
because that was funny. She's goes, like,
yeah. I didn't forget, of course, that the dog needed grooming. I just wanted to see Kyle on her hands and knees. Wouldn't be the first time, am I right?
She literally says, I just love to fuck with Kyle, wind her up, and really have a bit of a laugh at her expense. Is that wrong?
No, it's not. That's why we love you.
It's why I used to give Kim drugs to do in the bathroom. It was so fun watching Kyle get upset. Get it?
Like, whoa, whoa, that was not funny. Okay.
So, Storm, poor Storm, he is like, not only do I have to deal with the indignity of an ugly pool shape, but now I've got to come here. He's like,
he sounds like Dorit.
Yeah. 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 That's very, they're like, hi, Storm.
Welcome.
Storm. I was like, I haven't heard that name since someone read my first pilot.
Hey, Storm, we're going to take you to see Lisa Vanderpump.
Welcome.
Like, darling, it's very important for you to stick your finger up to Reed's anal gland. Get in!
So the first they're starting to like wash poor Storm, and they're like hosing him down, and Lisa's like, oh, darling, let me rearrange. Oh, I'm sorry, Kyle, I just poured water from this hose on your hair. She's like, Lisa, I just blew dry this.
This dog is erratic and matty, like his owner. Get it!
Come to Vanderpump Dogs for the grooming, stay for the comedy.
So I was just gonna say, they take Storm over to the dry bar, and they are like, they have like these like blow dryer things, and Lisa's cracking me up. But I was genuinely laughing at this because Lisa's just taking the blow dryer thing and just putting it in Kyle's face, and Kyle's hair is just like going all over the place, and she's like, Lisa, stop. And she's like, oh yes, blow in the face.
I'm not even going to say we're Lucy and Ethel, because you don't have to say it if you are it. I've got a wacky thing I'm going to manipulate today. A scene with Kyle and Lisa together at the door groomers.
Oh my God, Ronnie, I just looked at my next note because Storm starts going, like, Storm's like, ah! My next note was, Storm is like doing a Dorit impersonation. Oh my God. We are in the same wavelength. Same wavelength.
And it's so true. So after, she's like,
wasn't that a fun, wacky scene, America? All right, let's have a seat, Kyle.
And Kyle goes, I feel bad because I got Storm from that same lady who's like making accusations about you guys. And Lisa's like,
that is why he got an ooh instead of an ooh. Kyle.
Did you notice? Did you notice that sitting behind Kyle was a giant portrait of Jiggy that was clearly from the same Sheena print-to-canvas factory?
Yes, it was like the glamour shot.
Yeah. So they're sitting there, they're talking, and they start talking about this rescue center, and now it's getting dramatic, you know, because Lisa's talking about how it's affected Ken and everything, and she's like, it just takes a toll, really. Oh, dramatic.
I worry about Ken.
And then she looks out the window. She's just like doing that staring out the window.
And Kyle's, and of course, guess what? Kyle told Lisa that Rinna brought it up at dinner. Of course Kyle did. The little gossip.
Yes, and Vanderpump's like, listen, we all know what it's like to fight with Lisa Rinna.
And there are, in fact, lots of people doing coke in my bathroom. So instead of getting upset, I'm going to say, you know what, Lisa Rinna,
It was in page 6, which is better than you for the past year. And it's up for public consumption. Go for it.
Go for it. So then they decide to change topics to something much more interesting. Teddy.
She's like, now before I bring my horse to run with Teddy's horse, I need to have a better understanding of why Teddy is upset with Dorit.
I'm like, because Dorit was late. There you go. Solved. Dorit was late. Dorit was really late and then acted like she wasn't late. That's what the problem is.
Kyle does a pretty killer impression of Dorit, too.
Oh, my God. It's amazing. Her impersonation is the best out of anyone. It's just perfect.
You know what's odd? She does the best impersonations of any housewife, and we don't even have an impersonation of Kyle.
Yeah, there is none. It's like sort of like, no, we don't. We have none. It's like Kyle and Nini, there's just no impersonations for them. But you know what I thought was funny was when they're talking about this Teddy Dorit issue, Kyle's like, yeah, it's like becoming a whole thing. Like now it's become a whole, you're just disrespectful of my time thing. It's like blowing up out of proportion. I'm like, that's because you've gone back and forth to both women and keep telling them what they keep on saying to each other. You're the one who turned it into something. Thank you.
Yeah, someone wrote on the Facebook group last week after watching that episode. They're like, do you love that Kyle went from place to place trying to start shit and then Rinna just walks in and upstages her in 2 seconds?
So I can't abuse someone at a dog shelter. Okay, I'll see you later. Bye. Hi. Hello.
She's efficient. She is one efficient lady.
Hello. This is Lisa Vanderpump. We are taking a commercial break now, but if you don't hear one, don't worry. You're very lucky.
So, hey, I'm Teddy. Teddy's at home with the baseball cap on because I'm totally normal, and that's what people do. They like watch baseball.
Yeah. By the way, Teddy, later on when you say, I don't like going someplace and everyone has to dress like a certain thing, and I don't like doing that. It makes me feel weird. I'm like, well, guess what you're doing with your baseball cap? Dressing like every other person in a baseball cap.
Yes,
there,
exactly.
There. Oh, my God, guys. I'm so glad I got that impromptu baseball cap out of my system. I just thought of it, and I was like, I'm going to buster the baseball cap.
Release the baseball cap anger. Yeah.
So Dorit's like, Teddy calls Dorit. She's like, well, I just wanted to make sure I talked to Dorit about this one more time before we all talked about it again together.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Teddy. Hi, it's Teddy. Hi. I just wanted to chat before the other ladies arrived. And Dorit goes, oh, what time? It's like, okay, Miss Havisham.
Yeah.
Do you have something else to do?
Yeah. And well, but the thing is this. The event is at 4:30, apparently a controversial time on this show. And Teddy's like, could you just come at like 4 or 4:15 just to chat real quickly? And Dorit tells us, she's like, really? Sure, I guess I can be there a little earlier than I'm supposed to be there. I'm like, don't act so put out of place. It's like a 15 minutes earlier, you know? Like, when she says I have to be there even earlier than I'm supposed to be there.
Yeah, you're not, even earlier.
That's just a little bit earlier than on time. It's not like you've been summoned an hour early already and then another hour before that.
Yeah, because she's shading her for the time she's having her event, too. She's like, even earlier? Even earlier than 4:30 to 5:30. Who would throw an event at this time in life?
I worry about the traffic, though, Teddy. I'm just not sure I can get there on time. I mean, at best case scenario, maybe 5 minutes late, so maybe 8 p.m.
So Teddy's like, I'm prepping for this party because, like, I don't know how to do this. I'm just like a normal person. How do you throw a party? I know this girl named Janie. She's my party planner. Like, we grew up riding horses together. Thank God for her. Hi, I'm Teddy.
Yeah, I mean, like, now you're dragging Jamie into, like, the horse memories. Like, God. Does everything revolve around horses? Everything?
And you know it was probably Jamie's horse. Teddy didn't even own a horse. She was probably like, this is the girl who loaned me her horse all the time. Now I'm making her put together a party. And Jamie's like, we'll have a flower station where we can all make crowns. Lisa Vanderpump. A crown of roses? I've never even heard of that. I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm just a girl. Which glasses go with what? Are there certain glasses for just Diet Cokes? This is crazy.
You know those flower crowns. Somewhere Caroline Fleming was having an orgasm.
I can't help but notice a reference to Midsummer. Swedish Midsummer, flower crowns. Oh, Comte.
Oh, let me guess. You're going to pickle a sauerkraut for the party in the middle of the island of the mother that loves me still above in heaven with a pickled onion.
How lucky are you to have me to inspire you to make a flower crown?
Flower crown. So the facialist is there. He's like, hi, how are you? Still facialist. And she has him doing pillowcases. She's like, I don't even know which pillows go on which cases and which cases go on which pillows. I'm like, they're square pillows and you're putting fucking bed pillowcases on them. It's not about being rich or poor. Don't you know your shapes?
Words to live by. That's gonna...
What's wrong still, with her?
If there were still that Twitter account that did our quotes, I think that would go on there. Crappin's quotes or whatever. Like,
I want things to be perfect. She's ridiculous. She's like, I want things to be perfect because I'm very particular, but also normal. So it's like, I don't even know what to be particular about. Idiot.
So Dorit shows up and her hair, like, she has... There's been a miscalculation with her bob. Now, it's a very severe bob. It's well, it's sharp, it's just right, but it is so short. She looks like that meme with, you know, the meme of the kitten wearing the pumpkin helmet? That's what she looks like. She looks like she's wearing a blonde pumpkin helmet.
I think she looks like she's auditioning for the El Paso Dinner Theater version of Sally Bowles in Cabaret.
I was about to say, that's the next
one. She's like, look at this, I'm Sally Bowles. Life is a cabaret, old chum. I bought it, your baby. Hope you don't mind.
Maybe next time, I'll be early. Maybe next time, PK will be there. Maybe next time, Teddy will just relax a little bit. It was only 6 minutes. The Nazis will never come. Anyway. So Dorit is like...
That is so her, too.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Dorit really is basically cabaret. Guys, yeah. I'm going to stay here. I'm sure it'll be fine, guys. Come on, let's sing cabaret. You know, I love putting on a show with PK. Everyone coming, oh, look at all these men. They're all in such a beautiful uniform. Come on in.
Lisa's the MC.
Welcome in, bienvenue. Welcome, get it? I said welcome.
Welcome. Everyone's welcome here, especially broken birds.
First they came for the Jews, then they came for the puppies.
It's all about, like, sad little puppies.
Woof-a-ray. So Dorit's like, Teddy, I'm here bright and early. Teddy, do you see what I've done here? I'm early. I get time, Teddy. I understood it this time. Teddy's like, yeah, well, cool. Come on in. Like, you want something to drink? And...
Out of this glass! Am I supposed to just drink champagne out of whichever glass I want to, Teddy?
Well, to be fair, Dorit's like, well, I'll have some Vanderpump Rosé, you know, because I know where my bread is buttered. Vanderpump Rosé, please. It's the best rosé. I love how I have to drink it out of a champagne glass. Oh, is that the most hilarious thing you've ever done? Teddy, you have a wicked wit about you, Teddy. Oh, this wasn't a joke? No? Oh.
Wrong glass, Teddy. What a joke. Oh, you weren't kidding. I'll take back the t-shirts I have ordered for you. So
different glasses for different kinds of drinks for a reason. Because what's the point of buying champagne glasses if you can't serve champagne in them? Am I right?
I didn't make it up. I just know the difference.
So in the backyard, she's like, because Teddy's being nice. She's like, yeah. You know, I just wanted you to come over because I'm Teddy. Look, that lady loaned me a horse one time. And Dorit's just trying to... Dorit's just trying to fuck with her at every turn. And she's like, oh, it isn't just proper. Well, you know, I'm not going to let anyone touch my face. You know how it is. You know how it is, Teddy. You have your people. I don't know what your people are capable of.
Like, damn.
And then Teddy, of course, Petty Teddy. Because it rhymes, and it's a great scene.
Yeah.
She's like, well, I laid out a text. If you're not interested in a facialist, you should have sent a text and said, I don't let people touch me. It's as simple as that.
You know, to be fair, Dorit complaining about the glasses, you know, she's just being accountable. Teddy has accountability codes, and so she should totally get it, you know? If she doesn't have the right glass. True. You know?
That is a really good point.
Yeah, I mean, for, you know, for every time that Teddy's like, I mean, I don't get these things. Listen, if the dress code is black tie, you gotta wear black tie, Teddy, because otherwise you're doing it wrong, and we're holding you accountable!
Oh my god, that's really a good, awful point at the same time. I love it.
Awful point.
She's like, look how many wrong glasses there are. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm holding you accountable, Teddy.
It's like you're doing it wrong, actually.
Teddy, you know Luann? You know Luann? Oh, I thought you said you were an accountability coach. No, it's, she's a countess and has nothing to do with accountability.
It was a countess-ability! Now, did you do your taxes? I did, because I'm a countess-ability!
So, no, Teddy, I cannot wait to try your burgers. No, that's the counter. That's a restaurant called The Counter, not Accountability Coach.
Well, I love wearing you to bed. No, that's an actual Teddy. I voted for your cousin. No, that's Teddy Kennedy.
You know, I think that flashlights are terrible. I loved using what you use. No, that's a candle. It doesn't even sound... It starts with a C, though.
So stupid. So Teddy goes, now look, here's the thing, now that we're actually talking... Did you see terrariums, by the way? I have terrariums out there. They're on all of Lisa Vanderpump's favorite colors.
I don't watch Real Housewives of New Jersey. Go on.
That's Teresa.
I don't stand behind the people who did the terrorist attacks. She's like, no, that's terrorism.
I'm terribly afraid of fish. I'm sorry, so I can't go near your terrariums.
Who would invite terrorism to a party? It's a terrarium, Teddy.
Who's terrarium? So then.
Oh my God.
So Teddy is.
I'm horrified with myself. I'm just backing away from the microphone very slowly.
Why?
Because I'm making terrorism into terrarium.
We've already made Nazi jokes. So, hey, we'll just go down the whole rabbit hole. So, rabbit hole. So, Teddy's like.
You've got a rabbit hole! No. The rabbit hole. Okay, I'm gonna be quiet now.
No, I'm just like laughing at how we're just ridiculous because we've started and stopped this episode so many times with technical issues that at this point we've now just like lost our minds and we're just being ridiculous. So Teddy is like, listen, I don't actually care that you left me at the restaurant for 54 minutes. And Dorit's like,
really? Because that's a pretty specific not caring.
Yeah, she's like, I didn't leave you for 54 minutes. 5.4 seconds, I think, is the proper term.
Gone in 60 seconds, you were. Just like the movie. So she's like, no, I didn't. She goes, I didn't leave you there. And she goes, yes, you did, Dorit. Yes, you did. She goes, I was at a meeting.
I get so laser focused, you know, when I'm designing my bikinis and such. It's hard for me to look at clocks, and I don't understand numbers anyway. That's why I'm not an accountability coach. And so it's very difficult. And so when you said, and I was like, well, I'm only 6 minutes after 4:30 when we're really only supposed to meet at 5 anyway. So guys, I think you can cut me some slack.
We're supposed to meet between 4:30 and 5, Diddy. So she's like, look, I don't even care, but like the thing I care about is that you told Kyle you were 6 minutes late, and then they show a clip of her telling Kyle that she was 20 minutes late. And I'm like, okay, now you're both wrong. I can't even follow this now.
It gets so confusing.
It does.
Teddy's like, the one thing I'm never wrong about is what time I'm supposed to do something.
Like, I'm an accountability coach.
You're so boring, even in what you're right about.
She goes, it was an hour. I was like, okay, now it's an hour. You're the one trying to be so specific. And then Dorit goes, if it was an hour, why would I have said 10 minutes on the phone? You think I believed it was 4 o'clock and I'm saying 4:30? You believe I don't know how to tell the time? Is that what you're saying, Titty?
And then it just turns into this Mobius strip of an SAT question. She's like, Teddy. You told me on the phone, it's been 30 minutes, and I said, Teddy, it's been 18 minutes since I was supposed to meet you, and if 18 minus 30 minutes is 5 minutes, and I don't know math, and maybe I don't know math, but what time would the train have arrived in Syracuse?
If one rocket ship was going faster than a Batmobile, how mad would PK be if I spent
$3 million? $3 million times... the $5 we have left in our account equals how many speeds per hour for a train going north and a balloon going south.
She's like, look, okay, I don't know, but I'm defending myself for something I didn't do, and now I'm talking about you to somebody else, and I don't like talking about you to other people. And Dorit goes, exactly!
And he's like, I don't know how I became the villain in all of this. I'm like, because you were late. You were nearly an hour late. That's how everyone always becomes the villain. The moment you're late for anything is the moment that you become the villain. And by the way, you know, that these are the producers that did this. You know that, like, that Teddy was like, okay, so when do we have to shoot today? They're like, 4 p.m. You'll meet her at 4 p.m. And then, you know, Dorit was like, darling, when am I supposed to meet with that boring girl? And they're like, 4:30, Dorit. She's like, great. So you know it was the producers who did this all.
The producers hate themselves. They're like, let's set ourselves up to just sit there and watch this boring girl sip out of a water glass for an hour. It's like, just like the saddest new person has to take that gig. So,
So then Dorit's like, Teddy, it's a little overly sensitive, don't you think? I mean, it's a very American of you, I think. You're just so oversensitive. It's a joke about a pussy, that's all. She's like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
So I called you a boop in front of David. She's like, no, that was Camille. Oh, jeez, now I've got to go there.
Yeah, she's like, don't be ridiculous, Teddy. These are my friends. And they're like, but oh my.
They keep intercutting these clips, which was so funny. Because Teddy's like, it just shouldn't have been a conversation with you and Kyle. And then they cut to her telling Kyle, oh, can you believe it? 6 to 20 minutes, balloons. Or whatever. And then she's like, my point is I had a conversation with another woman about you and it put a bad taste in my mouth. And she goes, a bad taste? Why didn't she call me? I'm like, she did. She called you like 5 times.
Teddy, maybe the reason why you have bad taste in your mouth is because you're serving things in the wrong vessels.
That's why you don't drink champagne out of a pint glass, Teddy.
The bubbles would go all the way, and then you just drink flat grape water. Teddy.
So Dorit finally goes, wait, now what are you saying I did wrong? She says, you can't. She goes, look, I have to admit, you came up at dinner, and the reason it came out is because, well, I'll let the other girl tell you, but like, you hurt another girl's feelings. And she's like, oh, jeez. And then Teddy goes, look, I'm fine to just let it go. And she goes, oh, thank the Lord. But like, she's not the one holding on.
And then Dorit's like, I think I'm going to change my glass now. Look at this thing. Oh my goodness. I'm drinking rosé out of a wine glass. Rosé out of a wine glass. Rosé out of a wine glass. Welcome.
So in to save the day comes Rinna.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Hello. Whoa, 5 stars. What a backyard. Are those terrariums? Harry Hamlin was also almost in a Jurassic show on TV, but it was FX. He was in Canada that day. Missed it.
And then it cuts to Dorit, who's now being like, do you mind if I switch glasses and drink some pump rosé? I feel like I shouldn't be drinking wine out of a champagne glass. Is that okay? I'm like, she's really looking for this glass. I mean, it's like 5 minutes of her looking for it.
And Rinna's like, oh, I get it. I would feel the same, Dorit. Like, yeah, it's the wrong glass. I mean, I guess I get it. You know, I'm with you. And she's like, would you? It's the wrong glass. I'm mortified. Okay, well, I'm with you there.
Thinking that she just made a mistake, I think, and got the wrong glass, so she's totally agreeing. Rinna does not agree Rinna with you. She just brought over a bottle of wine with a wine stopper in it.
Yeah. Okay? It wasn't even wine. It was Schlitz. And Rinna's basically like, I would feel the same, I think. And by I think meaning, if I were a dumb idiot like you, Dorit, I also would feel the same.
She goes, I understand things in glasses, but I don't give a shit. Plus, I'm from Oregon, so I drink my alcohol out of a red Solo cup. Never find me.
So Dorit's like, you guys, I'm going to rent out a yacht for PK's 50th birthday. Would you believe it? He's never had anyone plan a party for him his entire life. Not once has anyone ever done anything for him on his birthday. I'm like, listen, Dorit, I hate to break it to you, but you've been married to him for a few years, so it's a little bit your fault.
Confessing. Yeah, you're confessing to be a horrible fucking wife.
He's never had anyone plan a birthday for him in his whole life. I'm getting a yacht, Frank Sinatra, a bat car. It's going to cost $19 trillion.
You guys, here's the plan. I want to put up black curtains all around Marina Del Rey, and we'll tell everyone the port is closed because there's a huge mold issue, okay? And then we'll arrive, and when PK gets there, we'll drop the curtains. We'll be like, boy George, mold is not there. Happy birthday.
You know she's just going to be standing in front of an aquarium at Red Lobster.
This was 18 quadrillion dillion dollars.
It's for the seafood lover in you guys.
Rena.
Cheesy biscuits.
We're going to have a pop star there. Popcorn Shrimp is the name.
So we've invited over a friend. Doesn't normally perform at Red Lobster, but his name is Bloomin' Onion. He's a great, great band.
Hopefully his brother Long John can stop by and say hello.
Hopefully it won't be too cold in there. I hate it when it gets too chilly.
You know, the apple never falls far from the tree, does it, girls? The bee tree.
Applebee. We're like, okay, Dorit.
Applebee!
So
she says...
Brenna's just trying to be supportive. She's like,
last time I called Lisa's 80-year-old husband a woman abuser. So I'm just going to go along with whatever you say. Yeah. PK's going to love that. And she goes, he's going to sob.
I'd love to see my husband cry. So so she's like, guys, it's gonna be we're so stupid.
I know, my cousin Jen is over. She just came here to visit from Austin. I'm like, this will take 10 more minutes.
So Dorit's like, guys, it's gonna be black tie. Guys, it's gonna be black tie. And Teddy's like, yeah, I'm uncomfortable with black tie. I'm like, shut the fuck up, Teddy. You're uncomfortable with black tie. You're
and not even why?
And why? Tell the people.
Why? Ronnie. She goes, I'm not a person who focuses on aesthetics. I'm like, you have an aesthetician here. Like, what are you fucking talking about? She's like, so if it's about a certain look, I'm really uncomfortable. I'm like, you're having a Botox party, lady.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
This is not like... No one's asking to like put up a giant painting of vagina on your wall and making you feel uncomfortable about you know art or something. It's just a dress code. It's just black tie. It's nice. It's nice to dress up once in a while. It doesn't mean anything about like No one's having to say like that when you show up you have to admit that you are from the wealthy part of Hilton Head. It's okay. You can get into a tux you're not even in the tux. It's Edwin. Okay, you're just gonna wear a black dress. Okay, just come.
I'm gonna wear a shirt that says hi, I'm Teddy. And then Rena, of course, is like,
oh yes, I love black tie. I love black tie. Big black tie. Oh, I love.
Like she's cheering. She literally won't shut up about how much she loves black tie.
She's like, there's a grasshopper. Yes, baby, I love a grasshopper. You don't like a grasshopper? I hate grasshoppers too, baby.
Jiminy Cricket, baby.
So Vanderpump arrives and she's like,
hello, how are you? Look, Dorit is here on time. If he caused any shit, Dorit, get it.
Oh my God.
That one was a literally, sir. I got it.
So Vanderpump makes a joke about Dorit being on time, and Rena's basically like, I'm staying out of it. Wasn't there.
Not about me.
It's not about, not about me. No.
Nope. Wasn't me. Like the song. I got locked in the closet.
It wasn't me. Shaggy named himself after Rena. My hair. Shaggy. The Shag. I got the Rena Shag.
So Vanderpump is like, but that never stopped you before, not being about you. And she's like, I
don't know what you mean. I'm good for the moment. I'm good.
How dare you give Lisa Vanderpump Dorit's voice?
Oh, did I?
Yes.
Sorry, I was getting hot, so I turned on a fan. I was concentrating. And then I was like, well, I die of lung cancer because this is blowing out like black sand at me. And then I was like, you have 5 vapes in front of you and a whole pack of cigarettes.
You might have some brain fever.
Wouldn't me.
It wasn't me.
In the closet.
It wasn't me. Repeating just like,
pass that
six,
touch. Wasn't me.
54 so minutes Rena, for Teddy. It wasn't me.
Yeah, so Rena is just on this weird repeat thing. Like, she's way too excited about black tie. She's just acting like typical cuckoo bird. So she's like, I'm good.
I'm good. I'm good, Lisa Vanderpump. I'm good.
Vanderpump goes, what does that mean?
She goes, I have no beef. I don't have beef with anyone. I don't want to be weird about food, so maybe pretend I said, like, I have no problem. But nope, I have no beef with anybody. Anybody have beef? I don't eat beef. I'm not eating beef. I don't want to get weird about it.
So Vanderpump is basically, well, I have a beef with you because you're
beef tartar.
Now available at Vanderpump Dogs. So Lisa's like, she basically confronts her about what she said. I heard you're talking about Ken, you know, and Rena's like, huh, no, I never say anything about Ken. She's like, no, but you were talking about the issue with the place. And Rena's like, oh, well, you know, I read about it. I brought it's public consumption, you know. No, Vanderpump's like,
no, because she goes, Rin is going, husband,
what, your husband? When did I bring up your husband? What are you talking about? Who? Yeah. You're married? Hi, my name is Lisa Rinna.
What are you? She's like so obviously full of shit.
Yeah.
And Vanderpump's like,
look, it's okay, darling. It was the page six thing. It's public consumption now. So if you want to look publicly like you have consumption, then that's fine by me, darling. Get it? She's like, nope. I don't get it. You're married, huh? Congratulations. How long has it been? What's his name?
So Vanderpump's like, it's typical old Rinna. And then Rinna's like, she doesn't want me to talk about it, baby, but you better believe I'm going to talk about it. She slurps out of her coffee.
Like, a Starbucks. It's like, well, I don't know, because it was a clear Starbucks. So I don't know. I'm hoping for Tito's, but who knows?
Yeah.
But I love that Vanderpump's always so wounded. She's like,
typical Rinna. Bringing up something so hurtful.
I'm like, oh, okay. Like, it'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll be fine. It's allowed. If like someone you know is in the news, you're allowed to show up and be like, did you guys see this thing? But I guess
yeah, but Rinna is like,
hi. Sorry, I'm late for lunch. Okay, Lisa Vanderpump's husband beat somebody and is getting sued. Okay, thanks for having me. Bye.
So Kyle shows up. She's like, she shows up with basically Erica, I think. She's like, well, as long as I'm showing up with Erica, I might as well make a fashion statement. So she's in mustard-colored pajamas. Felt like a miss to me.
Yeah, well, that's Kyle for you. And then Erica's wearing sweatpants that probably cost like $90 million. And Rinna's like,
oh, you guys look so amazing. Whoa, look at you. It's supposed to be casual. Look at you. They're not casual. What is this, the Oscars? I'd like to congratulate the lady from Fences.
So
Erica's like,
the sweat. Sweats, or I don't give a fuck about this stupid party.
So yeah. Vanderpump goes,
how's Tom? A pain in the ass. When Ken broke his leg, I almost broke the other one. Get it?
America's like, misery loves like company. Lady. Get it, misery. So, this is actually when Erica was doing it.
Go talk to somebody else, all right?
Yeah. So this is when Erica was doing that thing about, well, it's nice to get out of the house. Too much time. You know what I'm saying? Too many times. So, and then we cut over to Dorit. She's like walking up to Kyle. She's like, Teddy told me that you said that I said that I left after 6 minutes. But I don't understand. Why does it take so long for a truck going west to go meet a truck going north?
She's like, look, finally, for the first time in my life, I'm not having to talk to Kim. One who gets stuck in these conversations.
Hey, Kyle. All right, let's say a train was going 50 miles an hour, but then it ran over a squirrel and a rocket ship passed it. How fast is the balloon?
And so Kyle is now just like, I don't want to talk about this. So she just puts on some octagon sunglasses that make her look like a housefly. So next up is Camille, who shows up.
Hi.
Terrarium eyes.
Hi. Hi.
I'm scrolling down to Camille. Where do I have Cam? I have the Camille. Queen going, it's good for the neck. And then they're fighting about, Rinna's like,
maybe we should do Vanderpump too, huh?
Yeah, so Camille walks up and Erica's getting a treatment or whatever, but Camille goes up to Erica. I don't know what Erica was really doing. It doesn't matter. And she just goes,
Hi, are you okay?
Yes, thank you. I'm okay. Thank you very much. Tom's ankle's healing. Thank you.
Yo, well, here I am. Tom's got a broken ankle. He's getting on my goddamn nails.
And Ren is like, I could use a hoo-ha tightening. Hoo-ha. And Vanderpump's like, I could help her. I mean, I'm no miracle worker, but hand me a needle and thread and get anything done, darling. Get it.
And somewhere, I just have this, I don't remember the context of why Dorit was saying this, but I just wrote down this quote. Dorit just goes, honestly, it's the most childish thing I've ever had a conversation about. I'm like, are you still going on about this? Are you talking about the glasses or the time? What are you talking about, Dorit, now?
She is still going on because she, when Camille comes in, she's being offered service. Well, they make a bunch of sex jokes, you know, mm-hmm. and then, which I'll just skip over because I think we've already made a bunch of sex jokes in this recap in general. But while Ren is over there at the terrarium section going, cute, oh my god, terrariums, hi terrarium, those are crazy, it's like a little world with just flowers. While she's doing that, Dorit is talking to somebody and she's like, I think I need to pull over Camille for a talk, is it bad when she's getting services? Dorit is now wasted, so yes. Whatever glass she was drinking out of got her just as drunk as normal four glasses of champagne would get her.
Yeah, exactly. So she just walks up to Camille, who's trying to relax, and she's like, Camille, you know, I've got a stupid sense of humor. It's just a stupid, silly sense of humor. And Camille's like, yes, your hair is just very stupid. Yes, I agree. No, a sense of humor, not a sense of hair. You know, I would never, ever, ever, ever. I mean, I didn't mean anything, guys. I totally appreciate you being upset, but it was just a silly moment and a silly joke, and I just have very European sense of humor, guys. And I'm sorry. Camille.
My humor's like one toilet for a million people on one floor to share at the end of a hallway. It's European! Get it, Camille?
Camille's like, oh, geez. Camille sits up. She's like, I'm not going to have this conversation lying down, okay? I learned that with Frasier. You are not going to trick me into becoming season one Camille.
Yeah, exactly.
So Camille's like, you know, the real problem was, it was the C word and, you know, the Godfather thing. And she's like,
The Godfather? I love that movie. What did Al Pacino ever do to you? Oh, Sofia Coppola still being raked across the coals for that one.
And she goes, it was when you said, be a godfather and get a strap on.
Cut to Dorit just being like, oh. Dorit's like, oh, would you like me to take the orange out of my mouth? I thought we were talking about the Godfather.
She's like, the Godfather? We're not at PK's birthday yet.
Camille, leave the gun. Take the cannoli. That's my advice to you.
She actually goes,
oh, that silly joke. Well, when I say dumb things that offend someone, I apologize. So here I am, the Godfather, apologizing to you, tortoise sauce.
And Camille goes, you know, Camille's like, it seems sincere. I mean, she seems shamed, but I don't know if I could have a relationship with her. I don't know if I could trust this woman.
It's
like, welcome back, season one.
Exactly. Mwah. Yeah, mwah. So upsetting.
And then Dorit goes,
well, that wasn't the coldest glamour circle I've ever been to.
Meanwhile, Lisa Vanderpump's still lying there. Did you notice that she goes, she tells the esthetician, I'm just here to relax. Just a hand massage is fine.
Like, yeah, and he goes, yeah, because you're really uptight. She goes, I'm not uptight.
You ask for only a hand massage. That's like the smallest thing that they could do.
And no one ever saw that esthetician again.
Yes.
That bitch is dead now. It's like dried beef jerky being served to, you know, adoptee dogs.
Yes, exactly. Well,
oh my god. We did it.
We did it, but you know what though? We didn't really finish it. You thought we did it, didn't you?
Because oh,
guess what?
What?
Guess what? Today is Wednesday, and on Wednesdays we have Listener Spotlight.
Oh, nice. Hell yes.
Okay, well, now I haven't. Let me actually download the listener spotlight from this week.
For fuck's sake.
I know. I just remembered right now. It's a very professional podcast. This has been just one of the most difficult recordings of all time because of everything. Here it is.
My name is Benjamin O'Toole King Edmunds Cohen.
And oh, hell yes. Me
from the Victims of Geraldine Parsons Smith board, where I publish nonsense a lot. I'm pretty prolific with that. You may know me from the Crappens mailbag, where I have submitted such questions as, well, what does Juliet Angus sound like? And how do I tell my whistling coworker to shut the fuck up?
Just Brilliant like stuff. That?
Yes, I know. Everybody loves it. And
like Raymond.
I just wanted to say that my fandom for Ben and Ronnie goes back to 2015. I was working at a hospital in Boston, and I needed something to do. And I was reading Stupid Housewives, and they recommended Watch What Crappens, and that's how I fell in love. I used to listen when they were 2 days a week. And let me tell you, their affinity for going on about nothing is as strong as ever. It happened during the Boston show. They hit the hard out at 1 hour and 15 minutes, and we didn't even get to finish the episode because it was so much fun. Crappens fans are the hypest fans. I should let you know that if you haven't been around them. We were loud. We were grooving out to Chic C'est La Vie and Good as Gold before the show. After the show, we bombed the Sinclair, where the show was, and the management wasn't happy. One of the security guys was like, I've never seen so many people take a hard right, which is where the restaurant was, after a show. Yeah. Ben and Ronnie are rock stars, and if you don't believe it, watch them enter a room and then watch every woman in the bar run to them like the friggin' Beatles showed up. Well, I think that's about my time. That's 2 minutes. So I want to plug my podcast, Daggers Out Podcast. I'll be always posting on the Facebook page. And hopefully I'll see Ben and Ronnie in Denver. That is the next show I hope to go to. So toodles.
Toodles. Well,
love you, Benjamin Cohen. Everyone... And we love you too, Lisa Swalks, who writes over at Trash Talk TV. And those two, yeah, they have a podcast called Daggers Out Podcast. Yes.
Everyone go listen to that podcast. I think the name is funny, which is why I left when he said Daggers Out Podcast. I like that because my daggers, it reminds me of New Zealand. Diggers. But yeah, we always support all our listeners who have their own podcast, etc. We support them, so go listen, because a rising tide lifts all the boats. And it was really cool to find.
I like that saying.
It's because
rising tides are not good.
Well, they lift all the boats. Like, in this world,
in this world of natural disasters happening every other week. Yeah, probably not good. Well, just not too high. But you know what? We're here for high boats. In
high boats.
And we're here for you, Ben Cohen. Thank you for all the support over the years. And it was so great to meet you in real life this week.
Yeah, he was last so week. Adorbs. Thank you, Ben, and everyone for coming to that Boston show. And for anyone who's interested in doing the listener spotlight, we kind of fell right into this segment today because the audio started playing very quickly. Faster than I was expecting. You just go to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. And if you support the show at the listener spotlight level, you too can have your voice heard on the podcast. So that was it for this week's listener spotlight.
Spotlight.
I didn't want Ben Cohen to not get the theme music. So you guys, listener spotlight's back. Well, I feel renewed. Thank you so much for that, Ben. This was super fun. We'll be back tomorrow to discuss premiere of Summer House.
We love you, everybody. Thank you so much.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Welcome to Bose Recommends. This is the place to discover your new favorite podcast. Every week, we listen to hundreds of shows to bring you our favorites. And this is one we think you're going to love.
Buckle down, you midnight campers, and open the windows and get ready. Get ready for midnight to bring you a psychic gift.
Thanks for the introduction, Ryan Adams, and cheers to Bose Recommends for featuring us. Ryan was one of the guests on Midnight Chats, the interview podcast from Loud and Quiet magazine, where musicians come to lose their minds. not really. It's just a conversation with a late night feel. Some, they're silly, like Mac DeMarco.
I'd like to have a big pig, like a big, you know, people get little pigs.
Yeah.
I'm talking big pig, like a huge swine.
Others are full of practical life advice, a bit like Laura Marling.
Well, right now, I've just got into making cheese. I've been making halloumi. I've been trying to get halloumi down.
Halloumi's my favourite cheese.
It's the greatest cheese.
It's the best cheese.
Or just a bit surreal, like Flying Lotus.
There's that animator, Coco Freak Bean. You heard of Coco Freak Bean?
I haven't.
Crazy.
I need to see.
Yeah. Coco Freak Bean, whoever that is, right? Yeah. You definitely need to see some Coco Freak Bean.
I'm Greg, and every other Thursday, we release a new chat for your listening at midnight. And people seem to like it. So we've recorded episodes in the past with artists like Future Islands, Billy Corgan, Mike Skinner from The Streets, Charlotte Gainsbourg, Angel Olsen, Franz Ferdinand, Loyal Karna, Thundercat Banks, and Craig David. Check us out by searching for Midnight Chats to listen and subscribe on Acast, iTunes, or your preferred podcast app. Finally, massive respect to Bose for recognizing podcast greatness when they hear it. See you at midnight.
That was this week's Bose Recommends, the place to discover your new favorite show. If you want to find out how you can enjoy podcasts in even better sound quality, visit bose.co.uk. Bose. Get closer.